This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Resistance Fighter, an educational program from Syngenta for growers invested in managing resistant weeds and protecting the future of their operation. George H.W. Bush, our 41st president, he completed his mission here on Earth late Friday. His memory will be honored many times and in many ways in the days ahead. I'll just say this. He was a diplomat, he was a statesman, he was a good man, and he set a fine example of what this country's leader should aspire to be.
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for joining us again this morning. Welcome to AgriTalk. If you listened to AgriTalk on Friday, I'm guessing that you were not surprised by how the Saturday night dinner between U.S. and Chinese trade negotiators went down. There's a truce on new tariffs, and they put a deadline in place. Basically, it's the end of February for negotiators to find a way to get China to understand what it means to be an integrated, responsible participant in global trade. I don't know if they'll be able to get that done or not, but we've got a good shot at it. And this is the best shot we've ever had at getting that done. We'll find out how the trade truce with China might impact ag trade this morning when we talk with Nick Giordano. Nick is the Vice President and Global Government Affairs Counsel for the National Pork Producers Council. And John Heisdorfer, John is the president of the American Soybean Association. He's going to be in on the conversation as well. Obviously, guys, Nick and John represent producers with the most to gain from a successful conclusion to the negotiations, which, of course, it means that they also represent the groups that have the most to lose should we see the negotiations fail. Should be an interesting conversation with the guys this morning. And, of course, we'll save some time for a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, to get into the latest trends in the used machinery market. We want you to be part of the conversation. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. If you'd rather let us know what you're thinking via Twitter, just include hashtag AgriTalk so that I will be sure to see it. Right now, let's turn it over to Tyne Morgan. Get an update on the news. Tyne, what's going on?
Well, I don't think I was the only one popping cheap champagne over the weekend. Big news, as you mentioned, the news just keeps coming. Trump tweeting Monday morning, quote, "Farmers will be a very big and fast beneficiary of our deal with China. They intend to start purchasing agricultural product immediately. We make the finest and cleanest product in the world, and that is what China wants. Farmers, comma, I love you." And I'm pretty sure he didn't need to say I love you because he's speaking farmers' love language right now with commodity prices up again double digits. So I'm pretty sure he didn't need to say I love you, but he did. But the White House calling the dinner meeting between the U.S. and Chinese delegation Saturday night highly successful, both agreeing to a 90-day ceasefire in the trade dispute between the two countries. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders saying President Trump will leave the tariffs currently in place on $200 billion worth of products at a 10% rate and not raise it as planned on January 1. China, in turn, has agreed to buy not yet agreed upon, but what is being called very substantial amount of agriculture, energy, industrial, and other products from the U.S. Now, there's also been a key figure thrown out this morning as Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin was on CNBC this morning. Farm Journal Washington correspondent Jim Wiesmeyer weighs in on what it means and the issue with the retaliatory tariffs that are still in place.
What I think we saw Saturday was really a bona fide truce, but no resolution. But at least they're talking. And in late breaking news today, just minutes ago, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin on CNBC expressed optimism about the future of an overall trade agreement with China. He said the U.S. has received commitments for concessions on several key areas, and then he put a figure. He said China put on the table an offer of over $1.2 trillion, $1.2 trillion, in additional commitments. But the details of all that are going to have to be negotiated. Now, that's just not, of course, ag commodities. But when it comes to U.S. soybeans and maybe pork, everyone in the trade that I talked with over the weekend said, really, to get real excited about this, they have to see an announcement from China that China has lifted the tariffs on those products, because then that would accelerate the odds that China could come into the market for perhaps major purchases of both of those products and perhaps others.
So still a lot to work through in this 90-day ceasefire period. But despite the rally, despite the news Saturday, second round of market facilitation payments are still expected to be announced this week, possibly today, as Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue is speaking in Chicago. Now, USDA previously confirming that the plan was to announce MFP payments the week of December 3rd. Here we are. Undersecretary Bill Northey confirming to AgriTalk in November that those payments will be for the remaining half of production. Now, what's still in question, Chip, is how much those payments will be. Washington insiders think the payment rates may be the same as the first round, but that's yet to be confirmed. Real quick, also expected this week was the final farm bill language. However, due to the funeral services of the 41st president, George H. Bush, many lingering policy items like farm bill are expected to get pushed back a week. So we may not see the language. All Washington insiders say farm bill is done. It is finalized, but we may not see that language. And to end on, we want to pay our respect to the 41st president, George H.W. Bush, died at his home in Houston on Friday at the age of 94. A week of ceremonies are planned, including an arrival ceremony at the Capitol today, where Bush will lie until Wednesday. Members and friends will then gather for a funeral at Washington National Cathedral. But a photo going viral is the president's service dog, named Sully. Yeah. A photo was shared on Twitter where his service dog was laying by the president's casket. The photo was titled "Mission Complete." I don't think you could have a better title to end the president. You know, a man who did not like to talk about his legacy, but definitely leads a legacy behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he very humble man, no doubt about that. So, all right, Tyne, thanks.
Thanks, Chip.
All right, let's bring in Michael Clark. Michael is a meteorologist at BAMWX.com. Michael, we've got some cold air coming into the middle of the country, but at least it looks like it's going to be dry.
Yeah, Chip, definitely. It's definitely going to be cold, but at least, like you said, it will be dry. We did have a major snowstorm over the weekend in the Central Plains, but at least we won't be dealing with any of that.
right. Now, how much snow did they get out in the in areas of Nebraska where things were the worst?
Yeah, some places got over 10 inches of snow. I mean, it was certainly a heck of a storm. Places in Kansas, Nebraska, and even western and southern Iowa got drilled with a pretty good one.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to be fairly active up and down the East Coast this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where kind of the focus goes. And in fact, we're watching a storm system late this week into the weekend that could bring heavy snow to the Missouri, Ohio, Tennessee Valley, and then up into the Northeast. So another big snowstorm is in the cards here later this weekend for sure.
Okay, later this weekend. Okay, so that's the next thing that you're watching. I mean, I know that you look even further out, Michael. Are you seeing anything that's a red flag for us?
Well, we've got a little bit of a mild spell coming. It'll be a drier pattern. But as we get back into the holiday time frame, Christmas into New Year's, I think it can get very cold and turn stormy yet once again. So winter is definitely far from over, for sure.
All right, yeah. We've got a long ways to go before we can say that winter is over. Thanks, Michael. We'll talk with you soon.
Thank you, Chip.
All right, that is Michael Clark, meteorologist at BAMWX.com. All right, coming up next, how good of a deal is it, this trade truce? We're going to talk with reps from the National Pork Producers Council and the American Soybean Association about it next, right here on AgriTalk.
It's Digging Deeper with the Mosaic Company, the show where two agronomy experts take your questions about crop nutrition. Here are your hosts, Kurt Woolfolk and Ross Bender, senior agronomists from the Mosaic Company.
Hi, this is Kurt.
And this is Ross.
This Facebook user wants to know, how can I tell if I have a phosphorus deficiency and what can I do to help it?
One of the ways to spot nutrient deficiencies is getting out and walking in that field. From the perspective of identifying phosphorus deficiency, many nutrients you can identify whether or not they're deficient by identifying the color of different tissues on the particular plant. With respect to a crop like corn, a phosphorus deficiency is often observed by a purple coloring of the young leaf tissue.
MicroEssentials is a superior phosphate source when we consider dry granular fertilizer. It's important to remember that we have four nutrients in every single granule. That combination of sulfur and zinc, along with the phosphate, gets more P up into the plant.
Have any questions you want Kurt and Ross to tackle? Tweet to us at MicroEssentials on Twitter or send us a message on Facebook. And to learn more about smart crop nutrition, visit MicroEssentials.com.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF LibertyLink system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with LibertyLink and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
We're talking with Dane Bowers, herbicide technical product lead at Syngenta. You know, Dane, if we could just figure out when the weeds were going to turn resistant on us, that would really help us in controlling all the problems that we're dealing with out there. I understand that Syngenta has developed some kind of a model for predicting when weed resistance might develop. Share some of the details about that model with us.
Yes, Chip. This is really an exciting development. Our Syngenta scientists have developed a proprietary model. And what the model is really good at is comparing the ability of various herbicide programs to delay development of resistance in weed populations. This model is really quite complex, although the output is really simple. But the model itself takes into account a lot of parameters, things such as weed biology, planting date, application dates of the herbicides, and many other factors.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Chip.
I was just going to say, when you talk about this model, how exactly does it work? I mean, what factors, what variables are you looking at?
So what we can do with this herbicide model is we can select two different herbicide programs. We can select the timing that we apply those herbicides. We can select the planting date of when we're going to plant the crop. And what this will do is it runs a simulation over a 20-year period of time, and it will tell us when resistance will develop with comparing herbicide program A to herbicide program B. And so we've verified that looking backward in time and comparing to some development of glyphosate resistance, and the model proves to be quite effective at this. So we are utilizing this now with customers to help them understand what is the best program for them to select. We can utilize this program in many different ways. What's the best timing to apply the herbicides, for example? So it's really giving us a lot of utility and helping us both in selecting new herbicides coming down the pike for growers, and as well as helping growers today to manage resistant weeds.
Yeah, when we talk about resistant weeds, I mean, the number one that comes to my mind is water hemp. I assume that we're targeting water hemp with a program like this.
That's exactly correct. The model, as it currently stands, is it's designed to be a water hemp model, although it's very applicable to looking at Palmer amaranth as well, since those two species are fairly similar. But we do have plans in the future. We really hope to expand this into some other weeds. So with some continued research, hopefully we'll have some additional weeds built into the program.
All right. That's a peek into the future right there of weed control. Thank you, Dane. That was Dane Bowers, herbicide technical product lead at Syngenta. Learn more about best practices for managing resistant weeds through their Resistance Fighter program from Syngenta.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Hey, we've got, we're going to have a conversation about just how important this trade truce is. But first, let's make time for this industry spotlight.
I'm talking with Brad Walk of Seagull, Illinois, who tried Poncho Votivo 2.0 this growing season. Brad, is Poncho Votivo 2.0 going to be back on your farm again next year?
I plan to plant the Poncho Votivo 2.0 in 2019 because of the results from this year. Exceptional stalk health and yield. Comparing Poncho Votivo 2.0 to other varieties without it, I could see more girth in the ears. I could see kernel depth was a little better. We did have a yield trial on 8 rows, a quarter mile long, had an average of 302 bushels per acre on a independent weigh wagon. And those are dry bushels. And then we had a competitor that was 292.
Oh, okay. So you broke through 300 bushels with Poncho Votivo?
It's pretty crazy. It's just a great feeling. It's just, you've been working your whole life to try to hit that number. It's just always kind of felt like, you know, something that may never happen. And this year it's opened up a lot of eyes.
So what about the kernel depth? That had to be the difference.
Oh, that's big. It's huge. It's the test weight really adds to the yield, and just the girth of the ear, the kernel depth is huge. So that just all adds up. You need all the help you can get to 300 bushels.
So how did Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn stand up to the weather that you had this year?
We've had several wind storms here. The stalks with Poncho Votivo 2.0 seem to be standing a lot better. In the combine, you can see down the row a good quarter mile, no stalk disintegration or cannibalism. It's just a good feeling to know that the combine's not going to have to slow down, and very hardy corn, good standability.
So how much are you going to plant next year?
Planting Poncho Votivo 2.0 this year, I've found at least a 10 bushel per acre difference. I mean, 10 bushels per acre, that's at least $35 an acre. That just carries over all the acres and really adds up. That's a huge benefit for our bottom line. Next year, I plan to plant nearly 100% of my acres in Poncho Votivo 2.0.
Get the Poncho Votivo 2.0 yield advantage for 2019. Talk to your BASF seed representative.
All right, and let's break it down a little bit here. Let's get into just how important and how good of a deal maybe this is, maybe it isn't, that we saw struck between U.S. trade negotiators and Chinese negotiators Saturday night in Argentina at the G20 talks. Let's bring in John Heisdorfer. John is the president of the American Soybean Association. John, thank you so much for making time to be with us today. I know that this has got to be a really busy day for you.
Yeah, it seems like all you folks are calling and wanting to know what our feelings are.
Absolutely. Well, of course we do, because there's just so much. There is so much to be gained from a successful conclusion to the talks for soybean growers across the country, John. I mean, it's so critical that we don't waste the opportunity that we've got in front of us right now.
Well, you're exactly right, and you know, it was great news to hear. We don't know the details yet. We assume soybeans to be one of the things in the ag that China will take up right away, since it's one of the bigger things in ag. But we're waiting for those details.
Yeah, and those details they'll trickle into the market. And I think, you know, John, what concerns me is that we've kind of been down this path before. It wasn't that long ago that President Trump said that China will commit to buy more. To buy U.S. soybeans. As a matter of fact, they're going to commit to buy more than what they ever have before. Now, this morning, we get this $1.2 trillion in additional commitment comments from Steve Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, on CNBC this morning. That's a huge number. Obviously, it can't all be agricultural products. But even if a small portion of that was soybeans, John, I think we'd be pretty happy with that.
Well, we sure would be. You know, right now exports to China have been pretty well zero. And, you know, anything that we can pick up, I don't feel like we're ever going to get everything back, you know, that we've lost. Once somebody changes to, you know, a different customer, it's hard to get them back. But the timing is not too bad, because, you know, South America is kind of running out of beans right now. And this is our normal time when we pick those bushels. So it could be a, a great Christmas for farmers if we can get this going.
Yeah. Hey, John Tyne was talking about it at the start of the show today, but today is the day that we were supposed to get word on what that second tranche of payments might be on the market facilitation program payments. Have you heard any updates on that yet?
No, I haven't. But, okay. And I guess the thought process is, well, you know, maybe by the administration that, well, since, beans, we've got sales now and beans are going to go up and this, that, you know, maybe we're going to cut that back. But what they forget is there's a lot of farmers that didn't have storage and have sold all their beans already. So yeah. Those folks are already committed to a certain amount of dollars and really need that extra.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do here. If they're going to make the decision today, obviously they can't say, well, you know, now that we've got this deal done, we're going to pull back that second round of payments. They can't do that. I can't imagine. If they do, John, there's going to be a lot of disappointment out there. No question about that. So, yep. Hey, let's bring in Nick Giordano. Nick is the vice president and Global Government Affairs Council for the National Pork Producers Council. Nick, it's been a long time since we've talked. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. You bet. So bottom line, the deal, you know, quote unquote deal that we got with China over the weekend. Nick, how good is it?
Well, I'm not sure I'd characterize it as a deal.
Right.
I think the two sides have decided that they're going to continue to talk for 90 days and have a truce. That's really good. The pork industry, as you know, has been very negatively impacted by the trade dispute with China to the tune of $8 per animal, about $1 billion collectively this year. That's according to Dr. Dermot Hayes of Iowa State. So, we'll take any good news. I think we know that pork is in demand in China. I mean, it always is. A number of years ago, I recall that pork was 16% of the consumer price index in China. Mm-hmm. They need the product. They want the product. So anything that gets us out from under these punitive tariffs and back to moving U.S. pork to China would be great news. But we're not popping the corks of the champagne here yet.
Right.
This is positive, but let's see how it plays out.
Right, right. So what we basically need to do over the next 90 days, Nick, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, please, but basically what we have to do over the next 90 days is kind of teach China what it is like to be a responsible and integrated part of the global trade, right?
Well, look, if you take a look at the USTR report on China's practices, mm-hmm. it's long and involved. So this administration would like China to make a lot of changes. Whether China is prepared to do that, how long it takes, I don't know. I can tell you that MPPC is very hopeful that in the next 90 days, a lot of progress is made in the talks and that things start to wind down and we get out of this trade war mode, but nobody knows.
Yeah, that's the bottom line right there, John. What Nick just said was we all like to think that we've got an idea of how this is going to play out. But in reality, we just need to keep the momentum moving forward and do what we can as commodity groups to push the process forward, right?
Yeah, and I'm happy for Nick to sell all the pork that the pork producers I have hogs myself and we're soybean meal is part of feeding those hogs, so. Every hog that we can produce here and send meat over or send, soybeans to China with meal to raise hogs there. Both are definitely good for our soybean farmers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, this is not just about developing markets. This is about holding on to a market that has been developed for U.S. product. I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back, but I also want to get into some of those developing markets that are out there. I've got a very specific question for Nick. Nick, we need a New Mexico when it comes to importing U.S. pork. I want to find out what market Nick thinks that might be. We'll do that next when AgriTalk returns.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Don't miss your chance to win one of two brand new John Deere Gators during the Valent Fully Loaded Sweepstakes. The 2019 John Deere Gator is the ultimate utility vehicle for getting things done. Fast, powerful, and capable of handling payloads up to 1,500 pounds, the John Deere Gator works just as hard as you do. Enter for a chance to win now at ValentFullyLoaded.com. That's ValentFullyLoaded.com. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Ends March 10, 2019. See official rules for details at ValentFullyLoaded.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, big reaction on the open overnight to the trade truce. Set back now, trying to get some of those working back up towards the middle of the range.
Yeah, the initial euphoria, and then you back and fill some, and now you go again a little bit here. So the close today is vitally important, in my opinion, and how we finish this thing up and where we're headed near term. What we know right now is that both sides have agreed to talk for 90 days. It doesn't appear that China has agreed to lift its tariffs on U.S. soybeans and other ag products. And I think that will be a key in this 90-day period. If they do lift those tariffs during that time frame, and especially at the end of that time frame, and until then, we're probably not going to see significant purchases by China.
Right, right. Now, one of the important things that's going on right now, though, is along with the gains that we saw in the bean market last week, we've got some opportunities in these beans.
Well, you still come back to the fundamentals, and the fundamentals argue that the carryover is going to be about 1 billion bushels for 18-19. So, price strength in the marketplace needs to be taken kind of with a grain of salt here and used accordingly.
Yeah. Line up and get some risk covered. All right, livestock trade, just some mixed action in here.
Yeah, really, probably from the hog side, it's disappointing that the Chinese news didn't produce more. We got a firmer start, and now it's a mixed trade. Cattle markets, we had strong cash cattle prices last Friday, and yet we're limited on price strength this morning.
All right, good stuff, Brian. Thanks, man. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
You could win a Ford F-150 Raptor in the Ag Explorer Truck Sweepstakes. Enter at trucksweeps.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. We're talking with John Heisdorfer, president of the American Soybean Association, and Nick Giordano. Nick is vice president and global government affairs counsel for the National Pork Producers Council. Obviously, big news over the weekend. Not completely unexpected news. And like Nick was just explaining, far from a done deal. We get that. But hey, before we talk about more market development, again, let's go back and talk about markets that we have developed and we've got very good relationships with. Nick, I want to, I'm talking about the USMCA. We got the presidents to sign it, but now we still need to get it ratified by Congress, right?
Well, we do. And even before we get it ratified by Congress, we got to get the 20% punitive tariffs on pork off. And I'm sure folks in other sectors, both within ag and outside of agriculture, that are under retaliation feel that way. I mentioned that in the case of China, Dr. Hayes of Iowa State's number is $1 billion lost in value collectively to the industry because of China. It's even bigger with vis-a-vis Mexico. His numbers are $12 an animal, $1.5 billion. So the expectation on the part of many was that these metal tariffs would be lifted by November 30th when the deal was signed. They haven't been. I'm telling you, we're not happy. And we're pleased that the negotiations between the U.S. and Mexico and Canada on metals are ongoing. We've known that the administration is dealing with that matter in USMCA is two separate matters. But boy, I'm telling you, it's really hurting us, and we can't get those metal tariffs off fast enough. And right now, that's our top priority. Obviously, we're happy about what's going on in China, the time out there. We're getting hurt very badly in the China market as well. So we're playing a lot of defense, and we want to be the biggest advocate for USMCA. But right now, we're having, unfortunately, to spend a lot of defense. We want to get to offense, not just on USMCA, but on Mexico, on Japan as well, which is critically important to the pork industry.
Absolutely. John, you know, that's a point that I think a lot of people forget. And we emphasize it on AgriTalk I shouldn't say every opportunity, but whenever we talk about this issue, we got to remember those Section 232 tariffs. If the U.S. lifts those metal tariffs, then I think it would smooth the path for additional progress on these other trade issues, and it would help push USMCA further down that path.
Well, yeah, you're right. I think it would let trade, I'm not going to say completely resume, but we'll get things going again. And, soybean farmers have spent hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 35 to 40 years, developing a lot of this trade. And, that's the reason we're so livid about getting it back. It just is so important to us that China and we got a lot of new places we're working in. United States Soybean Export Council, has a lot of feet on the ground around the world, and they're continuing and even working harder than ever to get those new markets and work on our old markets to increase.
Yeah, yeah. The new markets, John, which ones do you look at and say, boy, there's a lot of opportunity right there that maybe the average market watcher doesn't think about?
Well, we've got, places like India where the population is growing a lot. The Vietnam and South Korea and a lot of those countries over in there are fastly growing, and the middle class is fastly growing, and so they want more meat, and it takes more protein.
Absolutely. Nick, it would be so cool if we could find another Mexico to add to our list of importers of U.S. pork. Is there one out there?
Well, there's actually more than one, and I think when folks don't typically think about pork being the number one meat consumed in the world here in the United States, because it isn't in the Western Hemisphere. But in Asia and Europe, it is. There's a lot of opportunity for us. So in Asia, our biggest opportunity was China and then Japan, right? So it's very, very big deal for us that they've announced trade talks with Japan, but those are established markets. New markets, John mentioned Vietnam, very important. Another very key one, the Philippines. Now, we've shipped about 100 million there last year. We're just scratching the tip of the iceberg. We've got quotas. We've got big in-tariff quotas there. We've got all sorts of SPS issues. We are delighted that the administration is looking very hard at initiating FTA negotiations with the Philippines. MPPC would be a staunch supporter. And then looking in our own hemisphere at a market where we do have an FTA, our exports have just been growing exponentially to Colombia. Yeah. And thank God for some of these past FTAs, because with record pork production this year and being on China's retaliation list and Mexico's retaliation list, boy, these other FTA countries, Colombia and the Central American countries and so on, been a lifesaver for the pork industry.
Yeah. Nick, I got to ask, I mean, you can't always just look back and say, well, if we would have, we should have, we could have, we could have done this, could have done that. I understand that that doesn't get you anywhere going forward. But could have we solved a lot of those issues with those developing countries like the Philippines, Vietnam, so on, if we would have stayed in the TPP?
You know, it's really water under the bridge. Look, I think, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a sector in the United States or in the 12 countries that was more engaged in TPP than the National Pork Producers Council. So we had a lot at stake. But having said that, look, the president's first executive order when he entered office was to pull us out of TPP. So the name of the game was bilateral FTAs. Before the end of that month, before the end of January, we were the first organization in the private sector to go public, urging the administration to commence bilateral trade negotiations with Japan. That was right on the precipice of Prime Minister Abe coming here. We are very happy that early next year, U.S.-Japan trade talks are going to start.
Yeah.
And that's very important. They got to move quickly. And we're pushing for the Philippines. So we'd like to see Vietnam and others. Obviously, the Asia-Pacific region, tremendous demand for pork. Other U.S. ag products, fastest growing economic region in the world. It's important, but the reality is that this administration has taken a different look at how the United States should lead in that region in the world. We have no choice but to be with the program.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Nick, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. I know that you got a busy day, and let's stay in touch.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. That is Nick Giordano, Vice President and Global Government Affairs Counsel for the National Pork Producers Council. John, I want to keep you here for just a second longer, if I could, please, because we got the Farm Bill now with the memorial efforts around President Bush, Bush 41. It looks like Farm Bill efforts are going to be delayed a little bit this week, but it sounds like they've got the deal done. We just need to get to the vote now, right?
Right. I don't know if the markup's back yet on it. That was the thing last I heard, was kind of they had to find out what the cost was going to be. And then and from there, it'd be great to have a new farm bill, another Christmas present for farmers, if you'll take it that way. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. John, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chip, for having us on.
You bet. That's John Heisdorfer, President of the American Soybean Association. Not a lot of time, but I'm going to bring him on. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, is joining me now. Greg, how are you today, buddy?
Hey, doing well, Chip. How are you?
doing just dandy, just dandy. We got a little bit to talk about in this final segment, but hopefully you understand with all the trade issues that were going on out there, we had to get that stuff covered. And boy, Nick and John did a great job getting stuff lined up for us.
Yeah, fascinating. Listen, I love to chip. It's top of mind. We got to get this stuff figured out.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what? We've got about 90 seconds here. I think that's enough time. Let's go ahead and get to Pete's Pick of the Week.
Machinery Pete's Pick of the Week is brought to you by MachineFinder.com. Where can you find the most comprehensive inventory of John Deere certified pre-owned tractors, combines, and sprayers? MachineFinder.com. Sometimes the best new addition to your fleet isn't new.
All right, Greg, what do you got, bud?
Well, we got a 2008 John Deere 8530 chip, 904 hours, so very low hours. It was an IVT 50K ILS Super Condition tractor, sold for $187,000 in Lake City, Iowa on a farm auction. Came in, it was Friday, Thursday. It was by the good folks at the Steffes Group. Now, Chip, that $187,000,
yep.
Highest auction price in exactly 4 years on an 8530. So, again,
pre-tier
four, low hours, it's the hot spot. And just for reference, average auction price this year on an 8530, about $116,100, up from last year, $113,900. So, again, these tractors getting older, but, you know, huge demand for the nice condition ones.
Yeah, and once again, highest price in 4 years, highest price in 5 years. We keep hearing that coming up. I want to talk a little bit more about that because, you know, 1 week doesn't make a trend. 2 weeks, okay, this is third or fourth week that we're talking about that. We'll cover it next.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Commodity Classic is the place to chart your course to success.
We enjoy the seminars, the education part of the seminars, the networking, the equipment, the technology and the equipment, and just to make sure that we're on the right path and what else is new going on so we stay ahead of the game.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused, educational, and agricultural experience. February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
It takes a degree in electronics just to work on your truck. You have to boot up 3 monitors to start planting. And watching TV? Well, that requires 4 different remotes. Yep, it's not the best time for people who enjoy simple. But we're doing our part to change that. Corteva AgriScience, the agriculture division of Dow DuPont, introduces the all-new True Choice offer. Now, this is simple. When you buy Pioneer brand seed, you earn Corteva cash that's immediately available for you to redeem at your crop protection retailer. Use that Corteva cash on more than 100 crop protection products. That's it. No waiting for a rebate, no digital fingerprinting necessary. Just a straightforward offer in an overly complicated world. Ask your local Pioneer sales representative or your crop protection retailer about True Choice. New, simple, now.
Spray nozzles are some of the smallest and most overlooked pieces of equipment on a sprayer, but they can have the biggest impact on accuracy, efficiency, and drift potential. Worn nozzles can change distribution patterns and cause under or over application, potentially impacting your bottom line. Now's a great time to replace your worn nozzles. Save 10% on John Deere spray nozzles, only available at your local John Deere dealer. Offer ends February 28th, 2019. See your participating dealer for details.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready 2 Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season with ProSaro Fungicide from Bayer.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. We're talking with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Give us a call if you got any questions. It's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us when you do. Make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. All right, Greg. Hey, where were you taping at the end of this last week?
Yeah, we were up in Barrett, Minnesota, west central part of the state, last Thursday. Chip, we were filming the Randy and Connie Reese Farm Retirement Auction. Beautiful line of machinery, another sale by the Steffes Group, and really had fun up there in Barrett. Good stuff.
All right. Anything particular jump off at off the page at you?
Yeah, they had 2 tractors with tracks and a combine. Of course, you know, with the wet fall over much of the Midwest, a lot of interest in, you know, maybe heightened interest. And the quad tracks, Chip, they had a 2012 550 with 2,178 hours that came in at 232,000. And then they had a 2014 500 quad track with 1,446 hours that wound up at 225. So I thought they both sold well.
Wow. Yeah.
And then the combine was a 2011 Case IH 9120T, which we don't see a zillion of, but very nice one, 1,590 engine hours, came in at 177.5. And one of the ones that really turned heads at the sale, I think, Chip, now this is up in 22-inch row country up there.
Yeah.
They had a 2013 John Deere 612C, 12-row, 22-inch chopping corn head.
Oh.
Under 3,000 acres on it, and that sold for 66,000. Now I know Steffes, the same auction company, sold one for 61.6 back near Montevideo, Minnesota, a few months ago. But I was visiting with some folks at the sale, Chip. They were hoping it might go in the 40s, and I thought, well, you can take your chance. I think it might go a little higher, but yeah, 66,000 on the Cornet.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. All right, as long as we're talking about some forage here, let's bring in Dave from Iowa. Dave, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm talking about a Heston Stacker, Heston 10 Stacker. Years ago, they were pretty popular. And I have actually 2 of them. I had one that I used to use for custom work all the time, and I bought another one just to have on hand if I ever broke down, and I hardly ever used the second one. But now there's not much demand for it. I didn't know if there was any demand for it at any of the auctions or if they bring any money. It seems like they go for pretty low price whenever I see one at an auction, and it's hard to find one in good shape.
Yeah. And what do you think, Greg?
Yeah, it's a good question, Dave. We do see a fair amount of Heston 10 stack hands, and of course, you're right. They, you know, years past, they were a staple, and now don't seem to bring a whole lot at auction. I'm just looking through here. So far this year, Dave, I've seen maybe 8 or 10 of them at auction, and the price range is $250 to $600 is what we've seen this year. And if I look back last year, I saw one for $800 up in, actually right near me in Zumbrota, Minnesota. But again, kind of in that $500 to $600 range if they're looking pretty nice. I don't see too many above that. But it is hard to find a really nice one, like you said.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable the weight of them things. You think it almost bring that much a scrap price. You
know? Right, exactly.
I was thinking the same thing there. Yep, no doubt.
Well, you know, and the parts for them things, if, you know, they're even hard to get anymore. If you had to buy parts, they're really expensive for the hammers and the unloading apron, all that kind of stuff.
Right,
some of them extra on hand, but I just don't even use it. Didn't even use it the last 2 years, and I should market it and get rid of both of them, but just trying to wonder.
Well, I tell you what,
it's always
what I would say, now we have a new for sale by owner at machinerypete.com. I tell you what, if you get those listed with us, we could pop that out on Facebook and Twitter, and the fact that it's so hard to find really nice ones, we could run into some, try to get some, you know, folks that have been looking for a good one and struggling. So you drop me a line or just hit up our website, Dave. I think we might be able to help you out there.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dave. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk with you again soon. Let's jump straight to Mike up in Wisconsin and take another call here. Mike, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you?
Good, good.
Good. What you got?
I got a 2003 John Deere 250 skid loader with 1,441 hours on it, and it was a Gold Key where we went over and watched it being built in Dubuque Works, and we had a fire a couple weeks ago, and I was wondering what the value of that is, because the repairs came in at $8,700, and we just submitted it to the insurance company, so I was wondering kind of what that value would be in case they want it totally.
Well, yeah, let me see. Now, I did see BigIron.com had one maybe 18 months ago or so, and that was out in Colorado. Now, I don't know the hours on it. That's the tricky part. It was an 03. Brought $13,750. Let me just look through the list here. Here was one in South Haven, Minnesota, about a year ago. It was a little older, 2000 model, 2,061 hours on it with a 78-inch bucket. That brought $10,750. Here's an 02 model in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, southeast part of the state. Just under 3,000 hours. That brought $8,500. I keep looking through the list here. Here's another one at 10. Richie Brothers, so while I was out east in Maryland. But those are the last three or four that have run across. I hope that helps a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey. What did you say the first one was? 13-something?
Yeah.
Yeah, 13,750 out in Colorado.
Okay, yep. So, thank you.
You bet, Mike. Yeah. Hey, we gotta wrap the show up here. I can't believe that we're running out of time here. But, Greg, what do you got going on machinerypete.com?
Huge news, folks. We've got our first ever Machine Repeat year-end unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with BigIron.com, our friends there. It opens December 6th. Bidding starts to close December 27th. Just go to machinerypete.com and watch. Again, December 6th it opens. We're going to have machinery from all over the country. No buyer's fee. It's going to be a great event, Chip.
That is awesome. Good stuff, Greg. We'll talk more about it in the Mondays ahead of us before we get to the end of the year. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk with you soon. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Nick Giordano from MPPC. and John Heisdorfer from ASA for joining us today. Come back this afternoon. We're going to be talking dairy markets with Alyssa Badger from High Ground Dairy. And tomorrow morning on AgriTalk, we got Lynn Crisp, president of the NCGA.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to the Resistance Fighter Program from Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. Visit resistancefighter.com and talk to your retailer or Syngenta representative about how to best manage resistant weeds.